Tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're live. This is the 30th day of the 11th month. We're heading right on down to the final month in the year, and we're on a subject tonight that is dear to our hearts, and we hope and trust that we'll have something very informative to your listening ear, because you know, so much chaff is blowing in the wind, and the Bible talks about the prophets are like foxes on a desert. Now, a desert is a barren place, and a fox must be very crafty to feed himself. And that's what Christ was alluding to, the crafty fox. And he also talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's these little points of contention that we bring up that are just needle in the standard Babylonian bell box, the churchianity system of the world. Tonight we're going to talk on a message tonight that we hope and trust that will enlighten you to the actual what is happening today. We're going to bring it right into the day. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the way that Yahweh designed this great mystery, and the Bible says that it is a mystery, and only those that have the anointed eye salve, those that have the pierced or the pricked ears, that have been circumcised in both ears and heart, and their eyes anointed with eye salve, can hear these things. Tonight, our title of our message, will give you the message title so that you can mark it. If you're keeping notes with us, praise Yahweh, get your Bibles. We're going into the Word, and we're going to go to the 37th chapter. And we're going to start at the 7th verse. And tonight we're going to title our message, A Lonely Cry from a Deep Pit. Let me give it to you again. You write it down if you're keeping notes. A Lonely Cry from a Deep Pit. Of course, we're talking about Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob's strength. He was actually the birthright son. Nothing has ever been spoken about him that we can read in history. It is amazing how silent world opinion and history has been to the house of Joseph. You see, the Jews are getting all the accolades. They actually, the Gentile world, those who are scattered abroad, who are really Israelites, have been in darkness. The Bible said that blindness has happened to Israel, not to Jews. Well, here comes the bellbark preachers, these foxes on the desert that howl like braying jackasses, and they actually just shout into the wind. But you see, the children of Israel, being blind, follow the goats into destruction. It said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, so we're going to go and tell you why that Joseph has been a real hidden issue until the last days. Remember, there was a covenant promise that Yahweh would promise Israel. Now, if you go into the Bible, you can see that the 10 northern tribes are stated as Ephraim. When he's talking about the 10 northern tribes, he's talking about Ephraim or the house of Ephraim, which in context is the house of Israel, or the 10 tribes scattered abroad. So when Christ came in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, he said, I am only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, 15:24. And so then Christ came, the anointed one, out of the house of David. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we were searching on the internet sites for a little information, and we ran across two sites that have been posted on the net, and those opposed to our doctrine on the house of David being the house of Ephraim. And I'm telling you, such smoke and mirrors, I have never seen the beat. You wonder why that Satan goes to the extremes that he does. And some of these are God's chosen people. Some of these are those who profess holiness. Now, holiness meaning that they wear long garments, and that's what they do. They are dressed well outside. They appear well. They appear to be righteous, to appear to be holy. But they're hypocrites. And when the measurement of truth is measured against their tradition, they fall short when they won't answer the bell for the final round. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the final round of time. Matter of fact, I'd share this vision with you that I had not before last. It was a frightening scene. It was a dream, but it was more like a vision. I've never had this type of vision or dream before. And it frightened me, so I'll pass it along to you for whatever it's worth. I saw in the southeastern region of the United States, a small nuclear device explode. Now, the reason that I pass this along to you, I believe that we are in perilous times. And I do believe that the system of Baal, the Babylonian Empire, will go to any extreme to bring in the Babylonian, or what we call the Mark of the Beast Kingdom, to be finalized, to have complete rule and authority over the peoples. I'm talking about the English-speaking free peoples of the world, where all laws now have been passed, even here in America, the Patriot Act, and I could mention others in government laws that have been actually rammed down our throats since 9/11. And ladies and gentlemen, when you search into the evidence of what has happened here, you're going to see an orchestrated act by the Illuminati to finalize, to put the final death knell in freedom as we have known it in America. We're going to trade our freedom for liberty. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they're already suggesting that our Constitution should be removed and that a military-type government should exist in America for safety's sake. Well, there is an agenda of people that are, it would benefit them greatly if they had this come to pass. Well, the dream ended with a brilliant flash of light, and I saw a large plume of smoke, a mushroom-type cloud, arise up into the heavens, and it lit the whole eastern seaboard here on the East Coast. Now, I didn't see anything other than what I did see, and this vision was terrible. And ladies and gentlemen, these visions can get you into trouble as it did Joseph. We're going to start in the 37th verse, and I believe America, which is a type of Joseph, a people that are blind, it's going to take something drastic to wake the people to what is actually going on in the earth even as we speak today. Now, there's diabolical plans and plots. The system is corrupt from bottom to top. Men have sold out for filthy lucre, and they proceed to do so. And as Joseph in the 37th verse, it says, Joseph was revealing a dream that he had to his brethren, and for all this, they hated Joseph the more. Now, we know that the final conclusion of the matter was to exile Joseph. Now, this is the 11th son of Jacob, and he was the chosen birthright son. Wonder why that this spiritual animosity, this jealousy, if you will, this carnal mind jealousy, and it's deep-rooted. We're going to go back and try to dig up the roots of this jealousy. And the Bible said that jealousy is cruel like the grave. That's actually what they done. They threw Joseph in the pit for this revelation right here. And behold, we were gathering sheaves in the field, and my sheaf stood up and remained upright. Then your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. And behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Genesis 37, verse 7 through 9. Clearly, these dreams reveal Joseph's sense of superiority over his entire family. He was to become the patriarch. He was to become the leader of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been lulled to sleep into this false mode of thinking since nobody has arisen in the last 300 or 400 years, especially, because we do believe this truth was preached at one time, and then it was silenced, just like the devil would like to silence this truth today, but it can't be. You see, the genie is out of the bottle. The truth has been told, and the truth forever stands, and in the appointed time, and it is the appointed time for someone to come forth and deliver Israel out of their blindness and their ungodliness and turn them back to the Father. These dreams reveal over his entire family that he was to have the rule. They also echo an earlier sibling rivalry between Jacob and Esau over the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob, though it was intended for Esau. May Yahweh bless you, Jacob says, as he is, or Isaac says, as he's blessing Joseph, or blessing, actually he's blessing Jacob, and then this blessing is bestowed upon Joseph. An abundance of grain, be master over your brothers, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. That's exactly what Joseph was reiterating, this prophetic, continuous prophecy that the sons and the sons that are descended from this particular bloodline of the house of Joseph would be the sons that would actually eventually lead the house of Israel back to their eyesight, back to their ear to hear the gospel. Now, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You must be up line upon line, precept upon precept. And when you hear the truth, it'll become stranger than fiction to an uncircumcised ear or a ear that is set in the bell boxes for generations. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we are creatures of habit. We believe what the preacher says down at the local church. Most of us never bother to get into the Bible and to read and to dig it out. We say, well, that's the preacher's job. Glory to God. And he's called and anointed, and I'm not. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all prophets and priests according to the Bible. And it's one thing for Yahweh to conceal a matter, but if it's another matter for one of the priests or prophets or kings, and you are a royal chosen priesthood to search these matters out. The glory of the house of Israel in the last days will come through revelation after revelation that the Almighty Yahweh is now restoring back to the covenant people back from Genesis chapter 27, verses 28 and 29, when Isaac, the covenant son, gave the blessing to Jacob. Jacob gave the blessing to Joseph, and the world, including the house of Israel, is enraged. They're jealous. Now, not only does this point to the dreams that he was pointing to, but it also pointed to his future leadership position. Now, that's what I want to talk about. There is coming on strong in the last days through the truth that the house of Joseph, through the house of David, through the house of Christ, who were all Ephraimites, who Jacob laid his right hand upon the house of Ephraim, not Manasseh. The blessing did not go to Manasseh. There was a blessing, a special blessing, but the blessing of the double portion blessing went to the house of Ephraim, which was the chosen son by Jacob himself, even over the objections of Joseph, who thought that the elder son was to receive the blessing birthright. And if you go by law, the law that Moses gave, well, that's truth. But notice this, they took him to a pit. His brothers began to conspire to do away with Joseph. Now, they were going to kill him. And the opportunity arose when Joseph arrived at Dothan to visit his brothers. Well, if you go back to the Bible, and you go to 1 and 2 Samuel, and you read the account of David, the eighth son, when he was chosen by his father Jesse to go up to the brothers who were there fighting in the army of King Saul Israel. And they were stranded because they'd come up against the giant of Goliath, just like little Joseph today is beginning to come up against Babylon with truth. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing will make the halls and the walls of Babylon crumble and fall. It will not be guns, tanks, ships, or bayonets. It will be by the word of Yahweh that pierces even to the dividing of the sunder of the joint and the marrow of the bone, piercing right into the discernment of the very hearts and the intents of the person behind it. And the word in the last day will become mightier than a sword, because the prophet Moses, when he stood with his hands raised, and when Joshua stood in battle, they had the living word of the mighty Elohim in their very midst and being. And this was the power, he said, not by power or by might, but by my spirit, saith Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, nothing has changed. Everything remains on time. The Father has got a set time to bring down Babylon. Now, this Babylon kingdom must arise to a greater height of power before that it is to crumble and fall. You see, Yahweh will give them just enough rope, if you will, to hang themselves. The Bible says in the last days, when this thing comes down, when the prophets of Yahweh begin to stand up, when one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight, in that day the living word of Yahweh shall arise on the hill of Mount Zion, and his prophets will become a flame of fire, and his army will be the heavenly angels that will come down. And as they did in battle, they go out and kill 185,000 of the enemy in one night. So, you see, ladies and gentlemen, it is not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. Every spirit-filled being upon the earth in that day that is anointed and called and chosen. And remember, in the Gospel of Romans, chapter 11, verse 26, all Israel that is Israel will be saved, but all Israel is not Israel. And therein lies the dilemma of where we have to start to change the thinking of the average Christian in this world today, that the Jews are not the chosen people of God to lead the house of Israel back to salvational status. It'll be the house of Joseph, and out of that house shall reign a fire. The sons of fire shall come forth, and they will. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Joseph was hid in Egypt, growing the corn of survival. Yahweh right now is growing the seeds of survival into the heart of a chosen army. This is a spiritual army. It is an unseen army. It is one that is very difficult for the enemy to find and to subdue and to kill. You see, the Father has his time plan, and Satan has his. Well, Satan has about run his course. Let me say this. When I saw that great pillar of nuclear fire rise up here in the southeast, looked like it was in the southeastern region of the United States, and I won't say where it was at, but it was real close to the coastal lines, but it was on the east coast here in the southeast. And would you wonder why that maybe our own enemy is within our gates right now, even as we speak, that they are plotting and planning and conniving, and all the things that they do is done from within, not without? Have you ever thought about the Trojan horse that has come in unaware? Have you ever wondered why that the borders of America has been opened up to immigrants, that they're flooding in like a flood? Do you ever wonder why that all of a sudden our immigration officers are too busy to come and pick up the illegal entrants and take them back across the border or punish them? If we were trying to break into other countries as they're breaking into ours, we would be shot on sight. But when you go down and defend the borders, and I've got friends and neighbors in this business that do this, and they've had encounters with the federal authorities over trying to to prevent the illegal immigrants from coming in. They are, the law is on the side of those strangers coming into our land. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been taken over from inside our own system, and it's working against, not for, the true house of Israel. Well, it's going to take that to wake us up, and the cry from the deep pit, when Joseph was thrown into the midst of the pit, the Bible says that they actually heard his cry. You know what it says that they did? This is amazing. And they saw him from afar. And before he came close, they conspired to kill him. This is in Genesis 37, verses 18 through 20. And they said to one another, "Behold, the dreamer is coming. Now let's kill him and throw his body into one of the pits." And then when Joseph arrived, and in accordance with the plan, the brothers immediately stripped him of all his special coat, and they cast him into the pit. Now, this coat was the special coat that was made for the birthright son to honor him. And when they threw him in there, and when he was sold into slavery, his value was 20 pieces of silver. Now, remember, after that he was sold into slavery, they kept his coat, and to tell the lie and to cover, you see, the devil has to tell one lie and tell a 10 more to cover up the lie that he's told. So what they did, they dipped his coat in animal's blood. This represents the sacrificial system of the Levitical system that Christ himself would have to die shedding his own blood instead of Joseph, the type. But they valued his life at 30 pieces of silver. And remember what he wore that they gambled for when he was hanging on the torture stake, when he was being crucified, and when he was killed by a people that claimed to be the people of God, his value was 30 pieces of silver. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 30 and 20 is 50. 50 is a number of grace. Had it not been for the grace of the blood of the second Redeemer, a type of Joseph, out of the house of Ephraim, we would, and we still never would, have any salvation. For if Christ was a Jew, then the true birthright son could have not come and laid claim to the possession of birthright kingdom fellowship. Now let me repeat that. If Christ was not an Ephraimite, and he was not from the birthright tribe, and Judah is not the birthright tribe, and I can prove that in 1,000 scriptures right now at my command, even in my own mind, I don't have to open a Bible. I could quote 1,000 scriptures in relationship to the very fact that the birthright son, the promised Messiah, would come out of the house of Ephraim, Joseph. And indeed, if Christ was not an Ephraimite from the tribe of Joseph, then you can truly say this, that we have no salvational covenant by the standard of the law, because the birthright son is the inheritor, and unless Christ would have been out of a birthright tribe, there is and still would have been no redemption in the house of Israel. But was he out of the house of Ephraim? Yes. Was David out of the house of Ephraim? Yes. And you know, these brilliant jackasses that are coming against this truth and this word in the last days, I warn you, do not get in the way of the Holy Spirit. Do not be caught with your murmuring and your complaining and your tradition dragging your dead carcass up before the Father to put up your feeble excuses when the truth is coming down by the anointed blaze of fire, coming direct out of heaven without any fear or without any reservations, bringing the truth to alive people who are lively stones, who are able to receive the truth because of the tradition and the falsehood and the Babylonian teaching of the Christian church world today. A big majority of people are turning away, and they're putting their ear to their shortwave sets. Thank the mighty Yahweh for WWCR. Thank Yahweh for men like Dr. Gary and for Dr. Jack and others who have joined our crusade, to bring out the visible, written, spiritual truth that our Redeemer must come from the house of Joseph, Ephraim. Otherwise, we do not have a Redeemer, and the Jews would have been right that Christ has not come. That's their story, and they're anti-Christ. But let me tell you something. It used to be when you were anti-Semitic, you were haters of Jews, and now it's the Jews that hate those that are anti-Jewish. And you say, why are you anti-Jewish, Pastor Buddy? Because there is a people who claim to be Jewish or not. I know the difference between a true Jew and a Jew that is not. And the ones that are not are the ones in power today. They sit in the chief seats as they did in the time of Christ. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. And as it was in the days of Christ, they killed him because they were children of the devil, not the children of the birthright tribe. Christ said himself, if God was your father, you'd love me. But ladies and gentlemen, let me give an astounding revelation here in the 60th verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. When Stephen was being stoned to death, in the 59th verse, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now remember, the spirit goes back to God who give it. The flesh goes back to the dust. So Stephen cried mightily unto Yahweh for him to receive his spirit back into the kingdom or back into the heavens from which it came. And there he'd been stoned to death. The English version says, Lord, lay this not to their charge. Again, this word not gets in the way of truth. In the Greek, there is no word for not. And again, we have deception, just like it is in the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 34, where he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Greek text says, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. And the Christian church has been so blind to the truth of Yahweh's word, they've let these foxes, these brain jackasses, these deceivers, these wolves in sheep's clothing come in and deceive their soul. The Bible says that they will deceive even the very elect. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not willing to stand up for something, you're going to fall for the craftiness of Satan, who himself has changed himself into a minister of righteousness, and so has his false prophets. And I can tell you, as far as I can hear one, and you know, they're all over the radio, they're all over the church world, they are full of brilliant prophets, but the lonely voice of Joseph crying from the deep pit of despair long has clawed his way back up to the top, back up from obscurity, back out of darkness. In the last days, the revelation of light will come forth through the sons of Ephraim, and they will lead back the children of Israel, the whole family of the reuniting of the two sticks, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Praise Yahweh. So then, those that are over there claiming to be Jewish, that claim you have to be Jewish before you become a member of that place called Palestine, where they're building a wall just like they did in Berlin in communist fashion. They were the authors of that wall, and now they're the authors of this wall as they build another wall to bring down destruction upon a people that is kin to Abraham. The very people there that are killing them have no relation to the blood of Abraham. These are Khazars. These are Mongolian Canaanites that have crept in unaware, and they fill the land of Palestine calling themselves Jewish because they adopted the Jewish religion in about the 8th century A.D. Facts? We've got them. Praise Yahweh. Now, where was Dothan? Well, amazingly, if you've been keeping up with what's going on in the Middle East, Jenin is 6 miles south of the main highway that the 10 sons were plotting the death of Joseph. Amazing. Right in Jenin, where they were at in the time of Joseph, now we have war, bloodshed, little children being shot right through the stomach. Go up and check on the sons who were stalled at the feet of Goliath. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got the same scenario today. The house of Joseph, who has been thrown in the pit, and yet he's coming out, and he will be the redemption, salvation for the whole house of Israel in the last days. So you can rest assured that the brothers hated Joseph without a cause. Now, let's talk about these that hate without a cause. Let's find out how it started. The Bible says in the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. There it is. Esau, the Edomite, Canaanite, hate Israel, who is Jacob, because of the blessing wherein his father blessed him. Now, Jacob, Israel, passed the blessing to Joseph, and they hated Joseph without a cause. They hated Christ. They valued him at 30 pieces and Joseph at 20, which means 50. And it's the 50th anointing, if you will, the 50th passage of time under the law that the Bible talks about hatred. Let me give you a verse of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 21, 16. And it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit. There's Joseph, when he shall make his sons to inherit. Remember what Christ said? I am the heir to the blessing. And those Canaanite Jews that killed him said, come, let us kill him, because the heir to the birthright blessing has come. And ladies and gentlemen, why would they want you to believe that Christ was a Jew? Because they would gain the world's sympathies under false pretenses that you are supporting the birthright tribe, when in reality you are never supporting the birthright tribe if you're supporting the tribe of Judah. Now that's very blunt and very plain. The plain talk is needed in these situations because of the traditional hardness of the heart that I have to penetrate with the Word of God and the flame of fire and the anointed spirit that the Father's laid upon me here in the last days to preach the gospel, to reprove. That means straighten your thinking out. You always believed that Christ was a Jew. Come on. You didn't have any Bible to say that he wasn't. You were just taking the word. You've never bothered to look. You've never bothered to fast. You've never bothered to pray. You've never paid the price to bring the revelation. Well, some people have. Some people have prayed. Some people have fasted. Does that mean that I'm any better than you because I have a revelation and I can prove that Christ was not a Jew? No. But I'll tell you one thing. If I love you, I'll tell you the truth. If it hurlips the devil and kinks his back and sends him straight to hell, and you'll go there with him if you don't believe the truth. But if you'll believe the truth, you can save yourself and them that hear you. And it may separate you from mother. It may separate you from the wife, the daughter, the sister, or the brother, or your local pastorship. Praise Yahweh. I gave mine up for the truth after 30 years of pastoring a little church, just a little country preacher boy, here in the hills of East Tennessee, called and anointed by Yahweh. And when I fell on my face after I fasted and prayed, and the Father spoke to me and said, I'll give you a new face for the last days. I'll bring you doubtless to visions and revelations, and I'll give you a voice to speak to the people, and you shall penetrate the hardness of their heart, and those that hear you shall be saved. Here we go. Then it shall be that his son said to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. Deuteronomy 21:15. Listen to me. This is right down the line, and I'm going to give you an interesting scenario here. If a man have two wives, oh, that's against the law anymore, one beloved and one hated, and they have borne him children, well, isn't that the situation with Jacob? Did not he work for Rachel for 7 years and was tricked into sleeping with Leah? And he worked another 7 years for the love of his life, that would be Rachel. Was it not Rachel's children up in Galilee of Israel in the 10-tribe kingdom? Was it not her weeping for her children? Was it not Herod the Canaanite that went up into the coast of Israel and slew all the male children? Was it not Rachel, the offspring of Joseph and Ephraim, Benjamin, that were weeping for their children? Yes, it was. And the 10 northern tribes. Was Christ hid in Judah? No, he was not. Where was he hid? The very place where Herod went in search of him. They knew where he was at. They knew who he was. The Bible says that they did. They knew he was the heir to the throne. They knew he was the birthright son. And yet they've got you believing that the real Christ. Well, you see, Christians are anti-Christ. If they believe that Christ is a Jew, all Jews are anti-Christ. They do not accept Christ unless they're converted and they're healed and they'll see the truth. And they'll know that the Jews are not God's chosen people. This is reality. But Christians support the lie of the Antichrist. The Bible says that he would deceive the very elect. All of these Christian so-called, oh, yes, they mean good. It's true that they cry at the altar. It is true that they weep and they mourn for all the lost souls throughout the earth when they should be weeping for their own selves, when they should set their own house straight and correct their own falsehoods and quit supporting evil. Ladies and gentlemen, the great conspiracy that killed our Messiah, who was an Ephraimite. And you know, I'd like to issue this challenge to these brilliant jackasses on the horizon, these foxes on the desert that howl in the night. Oh yeah, they do their work in the darkness. They won't come out in the light. They hate the light. We'll expose them. We'll debate anybody on the genealogy of Christ. I said we'll debate anybody, and I'll furnish the time here at Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack Expanse, and I'm sure that they would go along with it. We need to expose these foxes on the desert, these preachers of authority, these DDs, these dumb dogs that are howling out on the desert. And ladies and gentlemen, you can rest assured that there is a prophet on the scene that knows the scriptures and has the flame of fire in the heart and the desire to prove all things and let the word stop every mouth. Isn't that what it says it'll do? If Christ was a Jew, you should have book, verse, and chapter to prove he was. Oh, you say, well, Pilate said he was a Jew. Pilate did not. Pilate had heard he was a Jew. And the Bible says he asked him a question. Art thou Jesus, King of the Jews? Well, of course, he didn't say Jesus, but we'll give it the benefit of the doubt in the King James Bible that we're reading from here tonight. But what did Christ say? Thou sayest. And then open not his mouth anymore. Thou sayest. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is saying it all over the country, but it don't make it so. When you search the word and when you get the truth, when you get the revelation, when you dig deep and get on the foundation of the rock, you can separate yourself from mommy and daddy and all of these pagan ideals. Oh my, we're gearing up for pagan Christmas. Of the Catholicism, the church that brought the decoration of the tree, the cakes that they did in the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, they were baking the cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Well, they're still baking them to a queen called Mary. Ladies and gentlemen, she had to get the Holy Ghost just like you did. She had to repent of her sins just like you did. She wasn't a virgin after that Yahweh knew her. She was a virgin until, but then she had sons, the Bible says so, had offspring. And yet they say she remained a virgin. Well, poppycock is what I say to that. My heavens, how dumb, how ignorant can we get? And you say, well, see, I don't go to the Baptist, or I don't go to the Catholic Church, I go to the Baptist Church. Well, six of one and half a dozen yet. If the church is the whore church and she calls on the whore name, what are you doing out there calling on the same name she does? You see, you're no better than she is. You're just a harlot that ran out of the whore. And you jumped out of the frying pan, and now you've got into the fire, and it's time to return back. You see, Ephraim, you see the house of Ephraim, I'm talking to the 10 northern tribes, it is time for you to come out of the pit. It is time for you to quit crying out in agony. You know your soul is not being fed with this popcorn religion, this microwave religion, this pay and pray religion. You know that you're empty. You know that you're lost. So it's time to come out of the dungeon. It's time to come out of the pit. It's time to trim your lamps and set your light on the hill, a city that can't be hid. It's time to make your sails full of the wind of the gospel rather than the winds of tradition. It's time to hear the truth. If a man have two wives, one beloved and one hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers and was hated, then it shall be that when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of hatred, which is indeed the firstborn. So you see, it's firstborn privilege. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that when Esau, the firstborn, came before the prophet Jacob, he was too late. Why? Because Jacob, the son of the chosen one. You see, there was two nations, two manners of people. You see, Yahweh hated Esau before he was ever born, before he'd ever done any good and evil. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a mystery, because you say, well, God has got no respect of persons. Oh, but he has respect too. He'll pick you out and jump five or six more that he hates and abhors, and he'll kill them without any mercy. And the Bible said, take heed lest you having an unbelieving heart, you depart from the faith, for you could suffer the same fate. Remember, Lot's wife, when she put her hands to the plow and looked back, she's not fit for the kingdom. And we've got Christians standing in the pulpits. They are professed Christian. They're foxes. They're full of dead men's bones. Indeed, they appear with those nice suits and those fancy smiles and those $10,000 teeth that they've had kept, and all these shiny shoes and these Lear jets and these prosperous ministries. And oh, how Ephraim, the drunk, blind Ephraim that still loves the pit, that loves to be berated, that loves to be led into the mire. Get your prodigal butts out of the pig pen and come up and sit with the kingdom of Yahweh, with the anointed sons of Yah in the house of Joseph. And there you'll reign with the 10 northern tribes of the birthright. It's recorded in the 7th chapter of the book of John, beginning at verse 40, that there was a raging debate and a controversy 2,000 years ago over the very issue that Pastor Buddy has brought up. If Christ wasn't out of the house of Joseph, you can believe one thing. The Jews are right. Christ has not come. Ladies and gentlemen, how can you have it both ways? Well, the Christians say, well, the Jews are blind. He did come, but he was a Jew, and they didn't know him. My heavens. Ladies and gentlemen, that's like jumping out of the frying pan of ignorance into the fiery flames of ignorance. Boy, how stupid can we be? Because we've been blind and we can't see, but in the last days the anointed sag will come back. Yahweh will bring back the revelation of truth, and as it was the very controversy that brought him death, this next controversy over who he is will bring life, and the last will be first, and the first shall be last. Isn't it wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, the revelation and the divine crown is laid up? I'm going to read you as close out the message, the cry from the deep pit. It's a lonely cry. Are you sitting out there lonely tonight and you are now perplexed because you've heard Pastor Buddy and you really don't know the true answers? Are you confused about the matter? Well, stop and pray. Ask the Father about this message that you've just heard. If this message has no value of truth, if it has no merit and foundation, then forget it. But if this message has troubled your heart and you feel led and compelled to know more about this truth of who your suffering Messiah without the gate was, then you need to write for this information. I'll close it with the last verse in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll check, you'll see this is the only church he didn't find something against. All the rest of the churches had a problem. Listen, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and he that shutteth and no man open. Ladies and gentlemen, David was an Ephraimite from the house of Joseph, who was in line for the bloodline of the birthright covenant, and now the birthright revelation is coming forth. Oh, yes, the children of Judah, oh, they squeak and they holler and they howl because they don't deserve the birthright. And I can give you reasons why that they don't and why they were excluded. But Joseph, the only one that you'll never find one negative thing about, written in the scriptures, a true type of Christ, not Judah. Judah was a womanizer, a Canaanite lover, and he had problems. Oh, yes, yes, by the trick, just like Rebekah and Isaac had masterminded this birthright. Rebekah, when she brought her son Jacob the younger, he'd had no authority under the law to receive the birthright. And it brought jealousy from Esau. He sought to kill him just as soon as he found out that he had been defaulted the birthright. He sold his birthright. And ladies and gentlemen, that birthright is now into the house of Ephraim. You can howl, you can cry like the foxes on the desert. You can mourn, you can do your shundies and hallelujahs. But if you don't get your heart right before the king, the truth is going to find you naked, and the door will be shut, and no one will be able to open. The key of David, that's what we're talking about. So come out of the deep pit. Take that lonely cry from the time 6,000 years ago, that lonely cry where Abel cried and his blood cried out from the pit, the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a blood-washed way, and the Messiah had to come from the house of Joseph. Well, Pastor Buddy, the shepherd's call. You're listening to me tonight. I'm live. This is the 30th day of the month. Praise Yahweh. If you'd like to write us, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Write me. I'll send you information. Just request this tape, The Lonely Pit of Joseph. I'll send it to you, and we'll send you some information concerning the truth that we preach. We're a ministry that is solely supported by free will offerings, men that have hazarded their lives and give up a lot of their pleasures. Dr. Garrett could be out playing golf every night of the week. Instead of that, he saves his money and he contributes the money to the broadcast. Puts his money where his heart is. And ladies and gentlemen, we need supporters like Dr. Gary. I would love to have 10 good men like Dr. Gary and like Dr. Jack and Brother Bob and others that I could name too numerous to mention that have supported our ministry, have put time and hours of contribution and work and labor of love and spreading the truth. And we're hunting for you. We're in like the hunter that Christ spoke of, the fisherman. We're fishing for you, Jacob Israel. And we're hunting for you. We are desperately seeking Joseph. And we hear your lonely cry in the pit of your heart. You've been chosen. You know that you're a true blue. You know you're a sheep, but you've been following the goats too long. Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. This is the final judgment day. I believe that there's something imminent fixing to happen to America that will be very, very, very wrong. And America will be in the darkest pit of its existence. It'll be a time of trouble that was saw by George Washington's vision years ago when he saw the third invasion of this country, of an outside force to come in unaware and plan and sabotage our great country. We'll not let it happen. This is the home of Joseph Ephraim. We will be blessed. We shall arise, not by power or by might, but by His Spirit, saith Yahweh. If you want to call me tonight, I'm live. I'll be here to take your call. If it's busy, you go to voicemail. Call me back or I'll call you. Leave me a message. I'll call you. Area code 423-626-2172. Now it's area code 423-626-2172. Now if you have email, I'd like to give you my email tonight. You can email me if you're online. You can contact me, just lowercase letters. All these are lowercase. Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, Buddy1 at CenturyTale.net. That's Buddy1, CenturyTale at .net. B-U-D-D-Y, CenturyTale.net. That's all you have to have. Praise Yahweh. And email me, and we can send you some information right over the electronic wire system by the marvelous electronic route that we have available. So call me, area code 423-626-2172. Write me a post office box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's all the address you'll need. Now, some people say I go too fast. Let me give it to you one more time, and then I want to tell you about my sponsor, Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack, and give you their toll-free numbers. We'd like for you to call in. Several have been calling and pledging support, and we appreciate that very much. Matter of fact, I had a sister out of Mississippi today that made a wonderful pledge of support to me. Praise God. This is a wonderful, dear friend of mine that I've known for several years, and if she comes into her blessing, she's going to father that blessing by sending the message that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd Call is sending out to you, the love letter of Yahweh, crying from the deep pits. We've all been there, ladies and gentlemen. There's many still in the pits of despair and loneliness. The truth has evaded you. You've been lied to. It's time the truth found you and drug you from the pits and the miry clay where Satan has drug you down to kill you, steal you, and destroy you. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824, or area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to call Dr. Gary for the business hours of 8 to 5, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, East Central Time down there, you can call him around 9 o'clock. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Make me happy tonight. Let Dr. Gary call me and tell me that you've called him and pledged support. That's going to make me very happy. Leave him your name and address, and I'll send you a great thank you. I'll send you a packet of information, free and postpaid. Just do that for us. Call Dr. Gary. This is a toll-free number. It won't cost you anything to call. 1-877-289-7439. Leave your telephone number and your pledge, and if Dr. Gary's busy at the office, he will call you back on his nickel. Praise Yahweh. And Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. These are men of great faith, sponsors the Shepherd's Call Ministry, along with many others on the radio network that we have. We need more time. Our voice needs to be heard around the world. And, of course, through WWCR, we go into Europe, and we go into the Bahamas. We go into Costa Rica and the islands in the Caribbean. We're going out into California 3,000 miles away, and they're picking us up out there tonight, and we hope that Brother Bob expects you to email me or call me and tell me how we're knocking the peg out there tonight. We are 40 decibels above, you said, and we hope that we're pegging your shortwave unit out there tonight in California. So all the people around the radio network, this is Pastor Buddy, and I'd like to encourage you, write for the booklet that I have here on True Genetics. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the war's been all about genetics. Write for my map on where the sacred name is written at Bethel. And you know, we got these scholars that say Bethlehem Ephratah was down in Bethlehem, Judea. That's poppycock. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd just love for some of those to come on, and we would like to take them on that doctrine. And we'll prove geographically that Joseph, Ephraim, Bethel, the birthright territory, is the very house that Christ came from. And also, we'll prove that Jacob slept on the stone of stone that is now in the House of Scotland. Oh, hallelujah. The true blues. Hallelujah. Who later came to America to form this great country, and then he said that he would fill it with aliens, strangers, that we would get so lax. You see, Ephraim is a drunkard. We're drunk on the intoxication of tradition, Christmas, Easter, and all these pagan things that Christ has blinked his eye at until the appointed time when the resurrection of truth in the last day shall take it by storm, but not by power, not by might, but by the living word. So this is Pastor Buddy, and we're saying to you tonight, give us a call, area code 423-626-2172. I'd like to preach to you another couple hours. Oh, my. You see, sometimes, folks, when the Spirit gets anointed, you get all pumped up in the Spirit, and you get all ready to go with a message, it seems like you have to get off. But if you'll be generous enough to send us radio time, we can purchase more time on WWCR, the Worldwide Radio Network. We'd be glad to do so for you on your behalf, that we could send the message out to those who are lost and blind in the house of Israel. Remember, in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, it states that he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's you. I'll see you. Yahweh bless you.
Don't join us in keeping.